Joe Vidier. I am from Haiti. I am currently living in Chicago. Tonight, I would like to share with you the stories that I grew up with. In Haiti, we have stories that pass on, it's from generation to generation. And back home, what we would do every afternoon during the summertime, we will gather around. It's multi-generational. There is no sex, no age. We all sit together. And the oldest of the family will tell stories. And before I start, I would like to read an introduction about the Haitian story, what we call the folk tales. But what is common in Haiti before a storyteller actually start telling a story, the first thing that they say is "quick," and then the audience actually responds "crack." So I am going to start by saying "quick," and then you're gonna answer "crack." Okay? Yeah. "Quick." Good job. So let me read an introduction about the story for you. Creek.
Crack.
Good. Okay. It's good that everybody brings something to eat. It's exactly what we do. We would sit around, and especially summertime when we have a lot of corns, we will grill the corns, and then we will eat corn, and while we listen to the elderly telling us the stories. So Creek. The Haitian storyteller calls out when she or he has a story to tell. Crack, the audience responds if they want that storyteller to begin. If they do not respond with crack, the storyteller cannot begin. So if you want to live here, you have to respond crack. Otherwise, you will remain here until you say crack. It is not, sometimes the audience sometimes doesn't answer, but that doesn't mean that it's rude. But communal storytelling in Haiti takes place outside the capital city of Port-au-Prince, in the plains, mountains, and countryside. In these rural areas, the men work in the fields and the women take care of the household. Once a week, the women sell the family produce in the marketplace. The houses are small, thatched roof huts without electricity. In the evenings, the families create their own entertainment. So we're going to create our own entertainment here at Holden Village. When the adults are not too tired, and especially when the moon is full, or on a Saturday evening, they gather outside on their steps and talk and gossip. Soon, a story may be thought of. Creek!
Crack!
Right. In moments, a group might gather, friends, neighbors, teenagers, children, and toddlers, with many ready to tell. The storytellers must compete for a chance. If a storyteller tells well, he will call out "creek." Yeah, just as he is finishing his last sentence, but perhaps someone else has already called out "creek." Then the general sentiment of the crowd decides who will be the one to unwind the magic thread. Children of 7 or 8 mouth the words as the storytellers speak, for most of the stories are already well known. But if the children are too noisy, they will be reprimanded and sent away. Sometimes they will gather at a distance and form their own group, telling stories and imitating the gestures and intonation of the adults. Though the stories involve said gestures and expression, what is most exciting is the variety and inventiveness of the individual storyteller. The best storyteller takes a story known to all and creates his or her own story. Everyone knows the tale, but this time, what will the storyteller give? In entertainment, in imagery, in wisdom. So you're gonna judge me, right? Now what are we gonna do? I am going to start by the story called The Magic Orange Tree. The Magic Orange Tree is, welcome. The Magic Orange Tree. So we're gonna tell a story about the Magic Orange Tree. Let me give you a background about the story. It is when a child is born in the countryside, the umbilical cord may be saved and dried and planted in the earth with a pit from a fruit tree placed on the top of the cord. The tree that grows then belongs to the child. And when the tree gives fruit in 5 or 6 years, that fruit is considered the property of the child, who can barter or sell it. Welcome. Mm-hmm. To bring your own popcorn. What we're missing now is the Coke, right?
Yes.
But in Haiti, we don't use popcorn and Coke. We just eat corns. Popcorn is corn.
Right.
That's great. Young children in Haiti very quickly become economically active. Trees in Haiti are thus thought to protect children and are sometimes referred to as the guardian angel of the child. However, if the tree should die or grow in a deformed manner, that would be considered an evil omen for the child who owned the tree. So the story of the Magic Orange Tree, the song of the orange tree is often sung by the storyteller after the creek, before the beginning of the story. Each storyteller may offer a slightly different melodic version of the song. You will not see the difference, you know. Whatever I sing, you're gonna sing with me, right?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so. Creek!
Crack!
Creek!
Crack!
Creek!
Crack!
I'm gonna say creek, you all gonna answer crack.
Okay.
This is, and if I say it in French, it's creek. Yeah, you say crack. Yeah. Well, you can decide, and I'll say creek with you. So you can say crack. Creek!
Crack!
Creek!
Crack!
There was once a girl whose mother died when she was born. Her father waited for some time to remarry. But when he did, he married a woman who was both mean and cruel. She was so mean, there were some days she would not give the girl anything at all to eat. The girl was often hungry. One day, the girl came from school and saw one of the table three around round ripe oranges. She was like, this smelled good. The girl looked around her. No one was there. She took one orange, peeled it, and ate it. It was good. She took a second orange and ate it. She ate the third orange. Oh, she was happy. But soon, her stepmother came home. Who has taken the oranges I left on the table, she said. Whoever has done so had better say their prayers now, for they will not be able to see them later. The girl was so frightened. She ran from the house, she ran through the woods, until she came to her own mother's grave. All night she cried and prayed to her mother to help her. Finally, she fell asleep. In the morning, The sun woke her. Oh. And as she rolls her feet, something dropped from her. Scurried onto the ground. What was this? And she picked it up. It was an orange bit. At the moment it entered the earth, a green leaf sprouted from it. The girl watched. Amazed, she knelt down and sang. This song is in English, but I am not going to sing it in English for you, so you're gonna listen. I'm gonna sing it in Creole. She said, let me say the word in English for you so you can understand what I'm saying. Orange tree, grow and grow and grow. Orange tree, grow and grow and grow. Orange tree, stepmother is not real mother, orange tree. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Belle mère, belle maman. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. The orange tree grew. It grew to the size of the girl. The girl sang. Tes pieds oranges grandis. Now, the orange tree is that size. Let's pretend that I am the girl. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Belle mère, pas maman. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. And many twisting, turning, curving branches appear on the tree. Then the girl sang. Tes pieds oranges. Now she's gonna tell. She's gonna ask the orange tree to have flower. So now it's flower. Tes pieds oranges, mes fleurs, tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges, fais fleurs, tes pieds oranges. Mes fleurs, maman, tes pieds oranges. Fais fleurs, tes pieds oranges. Beautiful white blossoms cover the tree. After a time, they begin to fade, and small green buds appear when the flowers have been. The girl sing. What do you guess she's gonna ask for now?
Oranges?
What else? Any other guess? Now she asks. Now she's gonna ask the she said orange tree, ribbon and ribbon and ribbon, orange tree, and she keeps repeating that. Tes pieds oranges, fais fleurs, tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges, fais fleurs, tes pieds oranges. Belle mère, pas maman. Tes pieds oranges, fais fleurs, tes pieds oranges. The oranges ripened, and the whole tree was filled with golden oranges. The girl was so delighted. She danced around and around the tree, singing. What do you think she's gonna ask after oranges?
Hooray.
This time she asked for the orange, actually the tree, to grow and grow. She sings. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. But she was crying. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Belle mère, pas maman. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis tes pieds oranges. Because she knows if she doesn't go back home with the orange, she's gonna be in trouble. But then when she looked, she saw the orange tree had grown up to the sky, far beyond her reach. What was she to do? Oh, she was a clever girl. What do you think she's gonna do?
Climb.
Any other guess?
Ask the tree to bend down.
That's a good one. Yes, she said, orange tree, lower and lower. This is a song. Tes pieds oranges, baissez, baissez tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges baissés, baissés, tes pieds oranges belles, mais pas maman. Tes pieds oranges blessés, baissés, tes pieds oranges. When the orange tree came down to her height, she filled her arms with oranges and returned home. The moment the stepmother saw the gold oranges in the girl's arms, she seized them and began to eat them. Soon, she has finished them all. She's like, tell me, sweetie. Tell me, she said to the girl, where have you found such delicious oranges? The girl hesitated. She did not want to tell. The stepmother seized the girl's wrist and began to twist it. Now she's getting mad. The oranges are so good. Tell me, she ordered. The girl led her stepmother to the woods, to the orange tree. You remember, the girl is very clever. Well, as soon as the girl came to the tree, guess what she sang?
Fall on her stepmother.
Somebody guessed right. Grow and grow. She asks for the orange tree to grow. She sings again. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. Belle mais pas maman, tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. And the orange tree grew up to the sky. What was the stepmother to do then? Any guess?
She climbed up and falls down.
She began to plead and beg because the orange tree is too high. Please, she said, you shall be my own dear child. You may always have as much as you want to eat. Tell the tree to come down and you shall pick the oranges for me. So the girl sang quietly. What do you think she asked again? Any guess? Creak!
Crack!
Creak!
Crack!
Any guess? Yes, she sings. Tes pieds oranges baissés, baissés, tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges baissés, baissés, tes pieds oranges. Belle mais pas maman. Tes pieds oranges baissés, baissés, tes pieds oranges. She asked for the orange tree to lower. The tree began to lower. When it came to the height of the stepmother, she leaped on it and began to climb so quickly. You might have thought she was the daughter of an ape. And as she climbed from branch to branch, she ate every orange. The girl saw that there would soon be no oranges left. What would happen to her then? The girl sang. Any guess? Yes, she said. Tes pieds oranges grandis. Remember, the stepmother is still on the orange tree. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. Belle mais pas maman. Tes pieds oranges grandis, grandis, tes pieds oranges. The orange tree grew and grew and grew and grew. Cried the stepmother, and as she walks into the sky, help! The girl cried. What do you think she cried out for? The girl, she cried. What do you think she cried out for? She cried, break, OMG, break! The orange tree broke into 1,000 pieces. and the stepmother and the stepmother as well. Then the girl searched among the branches until she found a tiny orange bit. She carefully planted it in the earth. Softly, she sang. Dix pieds orange grandit, grandit, dix pieds orange grandit, grandit, dix pieds orange, permet pas maman, dix pieds orange grandit, grandit, dix pieds orange. The orange tree grew to the height of the girl. She picked some oranges and took them to market to sell. They were so sweet, the people bought all her oranges. Every Saturday, she is in the marketplace selling her oranges. Last Saturday, while I was here, right? Mm-hmm. I went to see her and ask her if she would give me a free orange. What? She cried. After all I've been through? And she gave me such a kick in the pants. That's how I got here today to tell you the story, the magic orange tree. Okay, another one. So this is how it's always goes in Haiti. After telling the story, you have to make up something at the end how you get here to tell the story. So I was kicking my pants. So that's why I'm here. I think this time he genuinely actually kicked me. Okay. Another one. This one talk about two donkeys. Let me give you background about it. My two donkeys, let's see, well, do we have a little background about, you know what, I am not going to tell you the background because it's going to tell you more of the story. Okay. There were once two donkeys who were always, okay, you are still awake. There were once two donkeys who were always together, a male donkey and a female donkey. They ate grass on the mountain. They ate grass on the mountainside, rubbing each other's long necks with their heads. They were on the grass, playfully biting each other's ears, frolicking and frisking. Then one year there was a dry season, the worst that anyone had ever known. No rain fell, no plants grew, no shrubs, not even one blade of grass. We shall both die if this continues. The male donkey said to his wife, I have a plan. Let us change ourselves into human beings. I shall become a man and find work with whoever can be. You change into a woman and stay wherever you can find work. Then, when the rainy season comes again, we shall both change back into donkeys and meet here as we were before. The female donkey agreed. She changed into a woman and was so beautiful that she was married that evening to a farmer who saw her, fell in love with her, and couldn't wait. It's so funny. The male donkey changed into a man and also found a place to stay, and the dry season passed. So you guessing what is coming after, right? All right. 6 months went by. The rains began and moistened the ground. The faded earth was soon filled with life and covered with flowers and grass. The man changed back into a donkey and ran eagerly to the mountain, but his wife was not there. He waited, and when she did not return, he began to travel from town to town, calling her. he keeps singing. On and on. Springtime has come again. On, on. At last, one day, he came to the town where Anne was living. She was in the kitchen peeling malanga and yams for her husband's dinner. I don't know if you know what malanga is. It's a root. And you know yams. But yams is not the yam that Americans use to it, what we call sweet potato in Haiti. Yam, it is another root that we think is yam, and then you call yam, whatever. She dropped the yams and listened. Springtime has come again. On, on. Her ears became longer. Her two arms began stretching. And from under her skirt, the tail started pushing. The farmer, waiting in the field for his dinner, was getting angry. I told my wife to bring my dinner by noon, and where is she? What can she be doing at the house at this all this time? He was getting angry. As the farmer came near his home, ready to give his wife a good beating, he heard a great crash, as if a pot has been broken. Pow! Then out the kitchen door trotted a female donkey. He was like, A male donkey was waiting by the gate, rushed up to her, and they both stood on their hind legs, braying with pleasure and biting each other's long ears. Then they turned toward the hills and ran happily out of town up to the mountain. The man went into the kitchen and found his wife was gone, and every pot and plate in the kitchen was broken. Every pot and plate. Everything. Well, I'll tell you this story because I want to point out to you how important it is to have a proper engagement and how necessary it is to meet your future bride or bridegroom relative, the sisters, brothers, and uncle, cousin, and especially the mother. Otherwise, if you are too hasty, such a thing can happen. It can. And to you. Okay, before I continue, I would like to teach you a song first. So get ready. You know, your time in Holden is going to be very enriched with all the languages, so I don't know which one you're going to choose when you go back home. So you can share, because I don't think I have enough for everybody.
Okay.
Which one is
there?
This?
Huh?
This two.
I can share
you,
or?
Oh, can you? No, the shupun. Can you share? Okay. Can you share? Scott, can you help me? Nothing I have, you know. Can you give this one a try? Okay, so this is Aichi Shei?
Yeah.
No, this is Shukun. No, I have only one Aichi Shei. Okay. So first of all, we're going to try to read. What is written?
It goes
like that.
Deye. Deye.
Yombo.
Yombo.
Tuf.
Tuf.
Penguin.
Penguin.
Lodju.
Moins,
contre,
choukoun.
Les souris, les lits ou moins, moins du ciel, à la belle
moune,
l'idim,
où trouver sachet,
tis oiseau,
nan bois,
qui tape écouter.
Qui t'a fait écouter?
Comment entendez ça?
Comme songer ça, moi gagner la peine. Car depuis jou ça, depuis moi na chen. This song was written by a poet very well known in Haiti a long time ago. His name was Oswald Durand, and then somebody put in the song. I don't know if you heard about the Yellowbird song.
Yeah.
This is the tune of the Yellowbird song. And it goes like, you're gonna repeat after me.
De yon go tou penguin.
Lot jou mwen kontre choukoun. Again. De yon go tou penguin.
Lot jou mwen kontre choukoun.
Li souri le li wè mwen. Mwen di siè la la bel moun. Again. De yè yon go tou penguin. Lot jou mwen kontre choukoun. This is where we're gonna go to your yellow bird. This song is actually praising the beauty of Haitian women. And the beauty of the woman in general, it's praising its part of the woman body. That's, it's more than that, but I just show, I just teach you the first part of the song. It's a very, very popular song, and it's been sung by so many choir in the world, the UN choir, and sometimes if you have time, you just type Shukun on the internet. And then you will listen to YouTube actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and then you will, they singing like a cappella, yeah. And then it's so beautiful when we do that. It's very Shukun. There's two spelling. This is a Creole spelling. There's a French spelling. Either one is okay. So you want to sing it the last time?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So let's go.
L'argent est votre choucoune, les souris les liouins moins, moins du ciel à la belle moune, moins du ciel à la belle moune, les dieux ont trouvé sa chair. Dis les hommes, d'un bois qui t'avait goûté, dis les hommes.
And then they study. Song in English first. Kokioko o samba. Now I dance like this. Samba o samba. Ah.
Now I dance like this. Samba dance, samba dance, samba dance, samba dance. You know that song? Kokiyo Koriwa. This is the dance. So he sung it several times, then he stood up. He sniffed the soft night air and swaying from side to side, he made up a dance song to match his song. Kokiyoko o samba, now I dance like this. Samba o sambaha, now I dance like this. Samba dance, samba dance, samba dance, samba dance. And the more he whirled around, the more impressed he was with his own dance. No one could make up such a dance, he thought to himself. But of course, there are always those who think they can do anything. Maybe. The next morning, the king announced that he would pay 5,000 gold, dollars, to anyone who could dance the Kokiyoko. That evening, a long line of dancers, many with newly made amulets around their necks, waited outside the palace, hoping they might be able to guess the steps of the Kyoko, of the Kokiyoko. And that night, the king saw some of the most splendid dancing he had ever seen, all for free. For no one, amulet or no amulet, was able to guess the steps of the Kokiyoko. The next night, it was the same thing, and the night after. Sometimes, one dancer would happen to do the first steps of the Kokiyoko, and the king would sit up in excitement. Once, a dancer did the first and second parts of the Kokiyoko, but then he did the wrong steps for the same balance. Months passed, and the king never tired of watching the dancing. But always after the dancers and servants left for the evening, the king would dance the Kokiyoko by himself, so he wouldn't forget it. It happened that one evening, Malice, the king's gardener, returned to the palace for his hat. As he came near the garden, he heard the king singing, Kokiyoko o samba, now I dance like this. Samba o samba, now I dance like it, like this. Samba dance, samba dance, samba dance, samba dance. Malice crept up to the gate and saw the king was dancing the Kokiyoko in the moonlight. He followed every movement with greedy, eager eyes, and then ran home to tell his wife, Madame Malice. Before work the next morning, Malice went to see his friend, Buki. Buki, he said, we have been friends for many years, and now I am going to do something really great for you. Ho-ho, said Buki. He had been friends long enough with Malice to know that when Malice started out to help her, to help you, you were much better off before he came along. No one was trickier than Malice. Leave well enough alone, said Buki. Buki, do you know what I saw last night? I saw the king dancing the Kokiyoko in his garden. I saw every step he made. I can dance it for him because I am his servant, and he will suspect me. But I will teach you the steps, and you will win the $5,000. Now, $5,000 is a lot of money, especially for a bookie who had many little bookies to feed. And also for Malice, who had many little malices.
Show me the dance, said Boogie. Molly sang and danced. Kokiyoko o samba, Kokiyoko o samba. Now I dance like this. Samba ho, samba ha. Now I dance like this. Samba dance, samba dance, samba dance, samba dance. Then Bookie tried to follow Malice's movement. But you know, Bookie is very naive and sometimes he's illiterate. So some of the things he cannot do, he was like, Kokiyo! Bookie was so fat and awkward, he nearly fell over. Never mind, said Malice. I'll be back tonight to teach you. Well, do a little bit every night and you'll learn. 2 months later, Bookie and Malice joined the line of dancers waiting outside the king's palace. When it was Bookie's turn, he went in alone and danced for the king. It was a very fat dancer who danced the Kokiyoko, but it was the Kokiyoko. Kokiyoko o samba. Now I dance like this. Samba ho samba ha. Now I dance like this. Samba dance, samba dance, samba dance, samba dance. There was no doubt about it. The king was flabbergasted. I don't know what that was. Amazed.
Yeah.
Stunned. And forced to give Bookie his reward. Bookie rushed joyously out of the palace with his sack of $5,000. Have won, Malice! Have won! Bookie shouted. Bookie and Malice walked gaily home through the forest. But as they passed a large breadfruit tree, as any of you knows what a breadfruit tree is, okay. You do know?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell? Can you describe it?
It's like a orange tree.
For those who haven't seen it yet, can you? You don't know what it is?
A large oval with kind of spikes all around it. Yeah, isn't it kind of spiky on the outside? And then on the inside, it's got these little sections of, it's they kind of fry it to eat it, you know?
Yes.
It's not sweet.
It's not sweet.
What's it called?
Breadfruit. We find it more in, we have it in Haiti. We have it, I think I saw it in Africa.
In Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia also.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Jamaica. They have it. Okay, where am I with Bookie and Malice?
They passed the breadfruit.
Yeah. Okay. Bookie and Malice walked gaily home to the forest, but as they passed a large breadfruit tree, Malice suddenly stopped and said, do you know the word malice? What a malicious person is.
Yeah.
So Malice is very malicious. And Malice suddenly stopped and said, Bookie, now you can dance the Kokiyoko. I am going to teach you one of the easiest dances there is. Malice moved his wand back and forth, closed his eyes, and sang. Listen to the song. If you have no sense, put your sack on the ground and dance. That's easy, said Bookie. And he put his sack on the ground and imitated Malice. And then he said, if you have no sense, put your sack on the ground and dance.
Dear.
Good, said Malice. And he began to sing faster and faster and shake his whole body. If you have no sense, put your sack on the ground and dance. Bookie did the same, and his eyes were shut tight when Madame Malice crept out from behind the breadfruit tree and picked up his sack. If you have no sense, put your sack on the ground and dance. Suddenly, Bookie opened his eyes and looked on the ground. My sack, Malice! My sack! Ho ho! Did you put it on the ground? Asked Malice in mock seriousness. Yes, of course. Oh, Bookie, no!
I tried to warn you, said Malice, and it disappeared into the night again. If you have no sense, put your sack on the ground and dance. And Jen gave me a kick in my pants, and then I felt here to tell you the story. I think it's time for the kids to go to bed. It's already 9:20 something. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And I'll see you next time. Thank you.
We've never been in the same place at the same time. So we've actually never met.